Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Hello, friends. It's great to see you on a Monday edition of the show, episode 179. Thanks for hanging out. There's the cover today. Can't catch a break. That is JV. Justin Verlander. He did pitch well enough to win yesterday. That's a rare occurrence. But June swoon for the Giants. I got some numbers for you that I will give you that's not great. But we got a lot of stuff going on today. It is a Monday. We had a ton to recap. There's lots of NBA because the season officially gets going today, and free agency and all sorts of stuff. And as you can see in the middle there, NBA free agency, Kuminga, LeBron, Ayton, the Malik Beasley story. There was a trade in the NFL this morning. Ramsey, Fitzpatrick throwing Jonnu Smith. So Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey go to the Steelers from the Dolphins for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers. And if you remember back in the day, Minkah Fitzpatrick's first game as a Steeler against the 49ers, I think he had one or two interceptions. He was really good that day. But anyway, and the Niners came back and won. Lots of stuff to get into today. Great Caboose Pistol has to do with cocaine. So we'll get into that a little bit later. I'm sure you shall enjoy that. And you probably won't enjoy the beginning, but because it has to do with the Giants. But good morning, good morning, good morning. Please make sure you're subscribed. Much appreciated your attendance today for episode 179. But please subscribe to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. If you would do that, hit us with a like, because then the algorithm thinks, hey, that show's not half bad, not all bad. Hit us with that on YouTube as well. And please keep those alerts on, because I got a lot of stuff that I'm going to send out today. On a Monday, we are packed. We got lots of stuff that I'm going to send out. So if you get those alerts on, then you will get the stuff or know when it's up. Lund Loyalists get the stuff first. So make sure you can hit us up with the Lund Loyalists. If you want to get your thoughts, questions, comments on the screen with all of the people this morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody. By the way, if you want to get your questions, comments, thoughts on the screen, in the chat, on YouTube, on John Lund Unleashed, then all you got to do is hit me with a super or a sticker and you're contributing to the show, which is always a great thing. Thank you for that. One more thing before we get out to roll call this morning. B, you see that big B in the corner, BSC, that's Bay Area Sports Collective. That is my show. A lot of ex-KNBRers. Tom Tolbert is Bay Area Sports Collective as well. Paulie Mack will be on today at 11 a.m. Pacific time with Creative Tony, our former creative director at KNBR. They do a great show called Paulie Mack's Particles. Also, in addition, Rod Brooks and Quality Hang, plus the great Amy G, remember from all her Giants days, and she's doing a great podcast / YouTube show on women in sports media that you should check out, and the great Jeremy Affelt, former Giants pitcher. That's all part of the Bay Area Sports Collective, so please make sure that you're subscribed to that, as well as John Lund Unleashed. Much appreciated your attendance there. A lot of people watching on different platforms, and I appreciate it. I always invite you over to the YouTube channel, John Lund Unleashed, so you can hang out with all of our friends in the chat room, a great community that we have put together. But if you're watching on Instagram, at John Lund Radio, good morning to you. I'm on X a lot, at John Lund Radio. So if you're watching on X, good morning, and thank you for hitting us up. You're supposed to be working, but you're watching on LinkedIn, Facebook, and other places. So thanks for watching on those platforms. You're always invited, and so much so encouraged, to come on over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. That would be outstanding. Happy Monday, and good morning, Shrimp Boy. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah, the Giants, not good. John Harder this morning. Scott Sanders, Perry, good morning. Pine Needle, Catalina, it is always great to see you. Joy, it is a joy. Of course it is. Jake, Pine Needle, Anthony, who else do we have? Alex, good morning to you, my friend. The Nutter, always a great day when the Nutter is her hurly bird. Yes, the Giants suck right now. Yes, they do. All right, let's get to everything today. And good morning to everybody as people appear. I'll make sure that I say good morning to everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for taking the time. Again, the chat room's over here on YouTube at John Lund Unleashed. Good morning to Dom as well, who just jumped in the room. All right, let's get to it for episode 179. Yes, Justin Verlander is still winless. And I'm going to start with this. It's just ugly. The numbers are just ugly. It's a June swoon. There's nothing about it. I told you this, White Sox, Marlins, or Marlins, White Sox, in that order, you got to dominate these teams. Arizona's coming up today. You got a big set in Arizona out in the desert inside the cool air because it's like a million degrees outside. All of a sudden, that's a tough series. Then you got the Dodgers, you got the Phillies, you got the Mets. You were supposed to take advantage of these bad teams, and you did not. They didn't. They went 1-5 against these teams, so let's look at how bad it was. Come on, stage, add. There you go. There's my fancy graphic there, Giants versus the Marlins and the White Sox. First of all, May and June, as you can see right there, not a good baseball team, 26-27, and the run differential's minus 25. So that's not just the six games. I just snuck that one in there. May and June, they're a sub-500 team now with a run differential of minus 25. So they're not a very good team. You don't need my analysis for that. In the six games, they went 1-5. They were outscored 31-17. In the White Sox series, they scored five total runs. Not one game. In the three-game series, they scored five runs. They scored three the first night. They scored none on Saturday. They scored one yesterday, so that's 1.67 per game. The White Sox coming into the series were allowing 4.37. Not good. Batting average in those six games against the Marlins and the White Sox, and again, not killer staffs, 202 in those six games. They struck out 50 times, over eight per game. That's about what they do, though. Team ERA, and just to show you this, the Marlins were at 4.89, 26 in the league. The White Sox, that's not 308. I screwed up there. That's a 408, which is 20th. So you're not talking about good pitching staffs. Again, that's not a 308. It's supposed to be a 408. Come on, Lund. It is Monday for all of us. Bullpen, this is where it gets really hairy. The bullpen was the best part of this team. They're having some hiccups, especially in this six-game series. In June, they're 6-7 with a 3.63 ERA, which is not horrendous. But if you look at May, they had a 2.43 ERA in May, did the bullpen, and a 2.52 in April. So they're up over a run, 1.2 runs per game in June. That's a big problem. Starters in June, 7-6 with a 4.03. Again, contrast that to May where they were 9-11, so they still weren't winning because they couldn't hit. But the ERA in May was 2.77 for the starters. It's 4.03 in June. Again, June swoon for the Giants. And then hitting, yeah, that'd be nice. They're not. Jung-Hoo Lee got off to a really nice start, 3-for-30, his last 36. So what that is the homestand. These numbers are from the homestand plus the White Sox series. All right, so Jung-Hoo Lee, 3-for-36. Ramos, 11-for-47, 234. And again, batting average aren't what they used to be, so I get it. Ramos has some big hits in there. Devers, 10-for-46, 217. That's his Giants tenure. He's hit a couple of home runs, one in Oppo, and one was a nasty shot into center field, but didn't do anything in Chicago. Flores, we know what he's done for the Giants, so I'm not going to be down on him, but 4-for-29, 138. Dom Smith not playing a lot, 2-for-16. Yaz, 10-for-44. That's what Yaz does. And actually, Bailey was a lot better than he normally has been, and he had a couple of big hits in both series. He's 6-for-24. So bottom line to this is they're not hitting. They're not pitching, either as starters or bullpen. And again, bullpen not horrible in June with a 3.63, but they're up over a run. So compared to the dominant bullpen that they had to start the season, June has not been that, and especially the Marlins and White Sox series, they have struggled in the bullpen, which is very weird for this team. So the bullpen's got to get it going. We talked about the starting pitching quite a bit. Justin Verlander, and to be fair to Justin Verlander, just because I've ripped on him so much and said, look, he's a fringe fifth starter at this point, and he is. But what can happen, and I tell you this all the time, there's a reason why professionals get to the professional level. Okay, you done looking at those numbers because they're horrendous. Point is, they're horrendous. And let me just, other than the six games, May and June, let me just go to the top here. May and June, 26-27 with a minus 25 run differential. It's not a good baseball team. Something's got to change. And, let me go to Verlander, and then we'll get to the changes. Verlander deserves credit yesterday. Still hasn't gotten a win as a Giant. Pitched well enough to win. Bullpen lets him down. That's rare, but it's been happening lately as far as the bullpen is concerned, and that's concerning because what was this team built on when they were actually winning games? They were getting good enough starting pitching. They were getting amazing bullpen work, and they were getting some timely hitting. And then you add Devers, and you think, well, that's going to bump everything up a notch. He hasn't hit really as a Giant. He's got a couple of impressive home runs, by and large, though, Rafael Devers hasn't hit. Now, is that the main concern of the offense? It is not. I sound like a broken record, so I'm not going to harp on this very long, but it's the same old shit. I mean, it's they're not getting production from first base because Devers is still a DH. Koss has given them a little bit at second base, but I'm not overly optimistic. Willy Adames is still a major disappointment at short. Chapman's out at third. Bailey has been okay lately. All right. Ramos is down a little bit. I'm not down on him. Jung-Hoo Lee has been atrocious, awful, terrible. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, coming off the major injury of last year, it's great that the defense is better in center. I can find a lot of guys who can play defense in center field. They gave him a lot of money. And look, it was a question mark. Japanese players, you can put them in the bank. You know, if a Japanese player is good and there's a lot of hype around him, they've come over here and they've been really good. The league, the comp in Japan works to Major League Baseball. Korea, we don't know as much. You know, Ha-Seong Kim came over for the Padres and has been pretty good. Now he's hurt this year, but, you know, he was pretty good for the Padres. There hasn't been a lot of position players coming over from Korea, and Jung-Hoo Lee just hasn't gotten it done. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. He's a guy that they started in this at the beginning of the season hitting in the three hole. They tried him in the leadoff spot. He doesn't draw enough walks. He's not that kind of a guy. For as good of an athlete as he is and as fast as he is, he's not a base stealer. You know, this might have been Farhan's final FU and finger to the Giants because it's not working out. And I realize that he got hurt a lot of last year, so we're not even talking about a full season of Jung-Hoo Lee, but we're getting there. And right now, that contract looks bad. I can find a guy to play defense in center field and be a punch and Judy hitter for a lot less than what they give him, 112, 118, whatever the hell the contract was. It's looking ugly. And we talk about this a lot. The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, they can eat contracts like this and go, well, we tried. The Giants, that's a major problem. That's a long contract for Jung-Hoo Lee. Way too long. I mean, we're seeing right now, maybe he can turn it around. I like the chance. I like the guy. I like, you know, it sucks having to talk about him like this, but he's sucking. And he was just okay last year. And so everybody's like, okay, give him the benefit of the doubt. Baseball people must know what they're doing. Just hasn't been good. And for a team like the Giants, a contract at this level hurts because it's going to take away from what they can do in the future. You can't just say this is a really bad contract. Oh, well, we'll write this one off. Certain teams can do that. LA, both New York teams can do that. Certain other teams who have, you know, Philadelphia at times could do it. Boston could. They choose not to. I mean, there's major revenue teams that can look at a 112, 118, whatever contract that is for Jung-Hoo Lee a couple of years in and say, oh, well, we'll just eat it. You know, we'll trade him somewhere and we'll eat a lot of the contract and it is what it is. The Giants are a major market team. They don't act like a major market team sometimes. Now, Devers is a great trade, but this particular contract, if Jung-Hoo Lee doesn't turn it around, that's bad news, man. It's going to hurt. And right now, good defender, great guy, fun, good bit, like the chance, all those kind of things. He's 3 for his last 36 and he is just... got off to a good start, but I don't know where to put him in the order. And this goes back to the voices that the hitters are hearing. Like this, you know what this reminds me of? You know, last year when the Niners special teams was just shit week after week after week, it was a block punt, a fake punt, just some kind of a play that was a momentum changing play that hurt the 49ers on special teams. And the whole season we're sitting here screaming and yelling, how does Brian Schneider still have a job? He was the special teams coordinator of the Niners. Like, when are they going to fire this guy? My God, every single week it's something. Like, I like Pat Burrow, man, but how does he have a job? I don't get it. And I'm not saying it's his fault. He doesn't swing at any pitches. He doesn't hit. He doesn't do anything, but he's the hitting coach. He's the voice in the ear. Now, maybe you know, players play coaches coach. That's a big philosophy of mine. Players play coaches coach. But there's so many guys not hitting. Guys aren't hitting. Flores has even fallen off now. Jung-Hoo Lee's fallen off a cliff. Willy Adames has never hit since he's been here. I say this every single day, I feel like. Look at the back of the baseball card. If they're not living up to the back of the baseball card, something's got to change. We're past the midway point of the season. You just lost 5 of 6 to the Marlins and got swept by the White Sox. With the Dodgers, Phillies, and Mets coming up. Now, the Mets are in the tank right now, so that may not be as tough, but the Phillies and the Dodgers are tough. You were supposed to, like I said, there was a stretch here, and I'm including Arizona in this, where you needed to go like 10-3, 11-2, because here come the Dodgers, the Phillies, and maybe the Mets will get it back on, maybe not. But those are tough games, and you're not going to dominate those games. Now, maybe they are. They could. But the way they're playing right now, the way they're not hitting, the bullpen's imploding to a certain level. After the first two starters, we're not sure, although Verlander, give him credit, he was good yesterday, good enough to win for sure. They're 26-27 in May and June with a minus 25 run differential. I'm sorry, that's not a good baseball team, man. And I'm not putting it on Buster. He just went and got Rafael Devers. Buster can't hit. Well, he could. Maybe he could. Maybe he should play first base, but there's got to be something. And like I said, I got nothing against Pat Burrell personally. I really like him. But when everybody's performing below the baseball card outside of Ramos, and I know I just showed you he's hitting 230. That's not horrible. But Ramos, I would say, is having an above average offensive season. Outside of that, I'm struggling. I mean, Koss is doing okay. Casey Schmidt was coming around a little bit. Patrick Bailey's having a little bit of, you know, 6 for his last 24, which is 250, which, like, for Patrick Bailey, that's like hitting 400. So, you know, something's got to change, and it's not early in the season. And I know Buster Posey owes a debt of gratitude to Pat Burrell. Without Pat Burrell, they don't win that first World Series, and they were former teammates. So that's going to be a tough conversation for Buster to have. You don't even have to fire him. Just reassign him. He was the minor league roving hitting instructor. Go back to that. They just need a new voice in the dugout from day to day. Look, if I'm Buster Posey and I'm swinging for the fences, talk to Barry and just say, can you just do it the rest of the season until we can figure this out? Just on a temporary basis, we would love it if you would just put on the uniform, hang out, talk to the guys. Can't hurt. I know Barry's behind the, you know, when Barry wants to do stuff, Barry does stuff. And maybe that's just going to be what Barry wants to do. But I'd at least go to him. And maybe Buster already has. You know, whatever the case may be. But the hitting, when everybody's struggling, that means coaching change. I'm not advocating for Bob Melvin. I know a lot of people are down on Bob Melvin. I'm not advocating for that yet. But they've got to change the hitting. It's just got to change. You can't get... They scored 5 runs in the White Sox series. Can it get lower? Don't say that, Lund. Good point. But that's the low point of your season. At the low point of the season, that's when you make changes. You just scored 5 runs against the White Sox. 5-3-0. I mean, come on, man. You won the first one. You got shut out in the second one. They scored 2 in the second one. I think it said 1. They went 3-0-2. You got shut out. I'd let him go on Saturday night after the shutout against the White Sox, but that's me. They got to start scoring runs. And look, they'll score 10 runs tomorrow or tonight. But then they'll score, you know, 2-1-2 again. You know, it's just Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. They scored enough runs in the Marlins series. Pitching let them down. But they didn't hit in the White Sox series. And if I'm Buster Posey, I can't do this anymore. I love Pat Burrell. He was a guy that was, you know, if I'm Buster Posey, help me win the 2010 World Series. But sorry. You got to do something, man. Can't just sit here. You're on the verge of a wild card still. The season is not over, but in your last... I mean, that's a large sample size, too. Remember, 162 games, you're 25-26 in your last 51. Problem. Pitching's going to come around. I have a good feel on the pitching, but this is the hitting we talk about every single day, and it's nauseating. I'm sick of it. You're sick of it. All right. Good morning, Tony. He says, fire Pat Burrell. Like I said, it's not Burrell's fault, but sometimes you got to get a new voice in there, man. Tim says Donnie Ecker. Donnie Ecker had some success, like you said, under Gabe. Why not? I mean, bring in anybody. Bring in everybody. yeah, I don't know what Koss brings to the table. He's in a nice little stretch right now. I'm not overly optimistic, but we'll see. You're at the Columbia Gorge right now. Beautiful. Good for you, James. Good for you, man. Get a summer vacation. Chill out a little bit. Clear the head. That's nice. Joji, yeah. I mean, you can't do that. You can't. And again, he's 6 for his last 24, Bailey, but we know what he is. Shortstop is a joke. And yeah, for the most part this year, you're exactly right. And add first base, because remember, Devers is not playing first base. They have the second lowest OPS at first base in baseball. So add four positions. And if you want to throw in third base because Chapman's out, add five positions. That's not good. So anyway. All right. That's my complaining and bitching and moaning about the Giants. Took about 20 minutes. I don't know. Do you want to talk about anything else about them? Winless JV, Marlins, White Sox. I got into the numbers. If you just joined us, there are the numbers. I'll do this just one last time. 26 and 27, minus 25 in May and June. The six games, 1-5, outscored 31-17. 1.67 runs per game against a team that was giving up 4.37. Batting average in that in the Marlins and White Sox series, 202. They struck out 50 times. The bullpen in June is not getting it done. 6-7 with a 363. They were 2.43 in May. Starters in June, 7-6, 403. They were 2.77 in May. And they still weren't winning, by the way, in May. Hitters Lee, 083 over his last 36. Again, this is the homestand plus the White Sox series. Devers as a Giant, 217. Flores struggling. Yaz, okay. Bailey, oh my God, 250. If Bailey get it 250, I'd give him, I'd re-sign him and give him a ton of money. But he can't. So we'll see. Anyway, there you go. That is the latest on the Giants. If you want to continue to complain and hit me up, that's fine. Remember, anything you want 100% on the screen, hit me up with a super or a sticker, and I will read it. What else? Anything else on the Giants? Hi, Daniel. How is this team 12 right now without Devers early in the season? It's a triple. It is right now. I mean, they've the thing to me is it's just Adames. I mean, I'm not saying that it's Adames alone, but this offense is, to me, it's symbolic of Adames' struggles. He just can't get it going. And every once in a while, he'll get into a streak. We'll get a couple of hits. He'll walk in a game. He'll hit it, you know, all this. And then we're like, oh, is he going to come around? Is he going to come around? And then it's like, okay, never mind. He's not going to come around. So, you know, his struggles, he is struggling. The offense is struggling. If he comes around, I think it'll mean something, but we'll see. What else? Anything else about the Giants? And then we'll move on because there's so much stuff in the NBA going on today. Let's see. This team was better under Kapler. Oh, he said it. We'll see. Look, I've said this before. I like Bob Melvin, but it just hasn't been working. Didn't work last year, hasn't worked this year. The one thing that we're excited about Bob Melvin when he came aboard with the Giants is that he always overachieved with the with the A's. You know that because they're not going to have the most talent. They just seem like a cohesive unit. They seem like they were having fun. They seem, you know, they did all the little things right. They just the sum of the parts wasn't as great, but they played better than the sum of their parts. And since Bob Melvin has been a member of the Giants, and I'm not saying they've had the most talent in the world. But it's just the sum of the parts are less than what they should be, at least from my perspective. You know, and if I'm Buster Posey, I'm scratching my head. I just got you Devers. I went out and got Willy Adames with no big bats would sign here. And he is a big bat. 32 home runs, 112 RBIs last year. That's a big bat. Chapman's injury has really hurt things. Ramos, like I said, is the only guy that I look at on that field and say he's playing at least two or above his baseball card. Nobody else is. Jungu Lee's not playing to his contract. Maybe Mike Yastrzemski is. You know, that's about as Mike Yastrzemski can hit, and he's always a good defender. So, you know, maybe you throw Yastrzemski in there if we want to be nice. But other than that, nobody else is. And now you're looking at the starting pitching, and you got two starters and what? And the bullpen's going to get back on track. I'm not going to freak out about the bullpen. They're going to be fine. Good morning, JJ Raider. It's good to see you, my friend. All right, there you go. That is the story on the Giants. If you missed it, we spent about 23 minutes on it. Go back. I will make sure that I post the chapters, or you can go back, or you can hit the podcast up where you get your favorite podcast, Apple, Spotify, etc. So there you go. Episode 179, Winless JV, Marlins, White Sox, gave you a bunch of numbers. Let's get to NBA free agency. So everything gets going today at about 1 o'clock local time, and things could go crazy. Now, as far as the Warriors are concerned, there's some rumors, I guess I would call them, around Jonathan Kuminga. One is Miami. No, I do not want Andrew Wiggins back. Thank you very much. There's a couple of intriguing players. No, you will not get Tyler Hero. No, you will not get Bam Adebayo. Those players are not coming the other way for Jonathan Kuminga. It's just not happening. As I always tell you, if you're going to make a trade, don't be the hometown's GM. Be the other team's GM. And ask yourself, would you take that trade? That's how you do it. Now, you don't have to. You live, you be you. But I'm telling you that if the other GM would get fired or be under great scrutiny, then that trade's probably not going to work. That's the way, that's kind of how I look at trades. So if you tell me that Kuminga's going to Miami and Bam Adebayo's coming to the Warriors to solve their big man issue, I will tell you that Pat Riley could be stoned, drunk, on some fresh Miami Coke, and we have a Coke story in the Caboose Pistol today. All those things could be true, and he's not signing off on a trade that sends Bam Adebayo to the Warriors for Jonathan Kuminga or any type of thing around that, right? He's trying to get Kuminga so he can put him with Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. So if you look at their roster, they've got a couple of intriguing guys. Apparently, they weren't willing to do it for Durant or anything like that. One catch-all before anybody, and I don't think anything's going to happen with Kuminga today, and the reason I don't think that is because everyone's waiting on Giannis. So I don't know if Giannis would go to Miami. I don't know where Giannis would go. San Antonio's been discussed. The Warriors have been discussed. Everybody's sitting back and hanging on to their assets, not making a big move because they don't know about Giannis. And it's weird to me because if I was the Bucks, and you don't have to announce anything, I guess, if I'm Giannis, but it would be nice, or at least behind the scenes, because teams are just sitting back. Apparently, according to all the reports, teams who want to be aggressive after Giannis and think they might be able to get him are waiting. And so Kuminga is going to be a fallback plan for Miami. Kuminga might be a fallback plan. Like, if I'm the Bulls, I'm not getting Giannis. So I've heard Bulls rumors for Kuminga. Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat, depending on who they put into that. And I'm not looking at the center. I don't want him. He's too old and too expensive. Like, you want to give me Coby White from the Bulls for Kuminga? I'd do that in a second. But I think Kuminga's got to be used to get a big man, so we'll see. Part of the problem, so let me move from Kuminga. I'm going to do LeBron last because it's going to take a minute. Let me move to DeAndre Ayton for a minute and just to go back on his career. Remember, he was taken in the same draft as Luka, and he was taken first overall at Arizona. Everybody loved him. Everybody thought he was going to be a star. He's been okay. His motor doesn't always run hot. There's no doubt about it. But in Portland last year, 14-10. Portland's trying to get like 55 centers on their team. So they had did a buyout with Ayton. So Ayton's going to have money. So the report is, and everybody says this when they leave an organization, look, he's got a buyout. He's got money. He was the first overall pick. It doesn't mean he doesn't want more money. So if somebody comes up with big money, Ayton's probably going to go there, despite the fact that he's already said, I want to win. The problem with the Warriors getting a big man is there's two teams looking for a big man right now in the Western Conference. One is the Lakers. One is the Warriors. Because those two teams were taken out by Minnesota because of size, and the Warriors could have lost to Houston because of size, and they wouldn't have matched up well against Oklahoma City. They wouldn't match up well against San Antonio. They won't match up well against Dallas with Anthony Davis. They won't match up well against Denver with Jokic. Like, go on down the line. Who could the Warriors play in the playoffs? Everybody they play has size. So we know the Warriors need size, and to me, they got to use Jonathan Kuminga to get said size. But the problem is right now is that, let's say, DeAndre Ayton, which I'm telling you, he's not a perfect prospect. You already know that. His motor runs definitely hot and cold, but he's a 7-footer. He can get up and down the floor a little bit. He's going to rebound. He's not one of the greatest rebounders for his size, but he'll give you a little bit of size inside, and he'll give you double-digit points. He's not bad. He's not overly athletic. Like, he's not going to, you know, he can pick and pop a little bit. He's not going to go outside of, you know, 10 feet. He's not a great shooter or anything like that. So, you'd like a stretch big. Ayton is certainly not that, but he's got some size to him. And if you can get him, because you got a buyout in Portland, if you can get him and you can fit him into your salary structure, then DeAndre Ayton's an absolute option and a good one for the Warriors, given that the other options are going to be what? Brooke Lopez? I mean, Bobby Portis just signed in Milwaukee. He was a guy that maybe some thought. Naz Reid already signed in Minnesota. That's one that some Warriors fans thought. It doesn't look like Miles Turner's leaving the Indiana Pacers. They just go to the NBA Finals, and he's a free agent. All indications are he's going to stay there. So all of a sudden, the options are starting to dwindle, and DeAndre Ayton, when the lights come on at 2 a.m. at the bar, doesn't look so bad. So that's not a bad option. But the Lakers are looking for size as well. So does DeAndre Ayton, if he's going to take a discount, does he want to go play with Luka and with LeBron versus what the Warriors have to offer? I don't know. I'm just simply saying that it's what's happening here is you're not the only team looking for size. So the Warriors are in a similar boat with the Lakers because you're a veteran team. You're trying to win before a guy like LeBron's clock runs out. And I wonder what team, if it comes down to the Lakers and the Warriors, where Ayton would choose. I don't know. But he would be a nice option for the Warriors, given that there's not going to be a lot of options out there. Brook Lopez, like I said, Clint Capella is going to be a name. Like, there's a few names out there, veteran guys. But among those guys, I would think DeAndre Ayton would be the best option to me if he's going to take a little bit less money. Now, having said that, let's get to the LeBron thing. Let me make sure that we don't move anything, but I'm going to get to the LeBron thing here in just a second. Let's see, Zion Williamson. I was big on Zion Williamson when the trade deadline was happening. I thought he would be the best guy. Now, Jimmy Butler's not bad. It's just Zion Williamson would have been a great add for the Warriors to me because, A, I think they'd motivate him. He's in a dictionary definition situation with New Orleans. Bad organization, really talented player, doesn't really have a lot of direction, doesn't have leadership there. And if he could get on a good team with good leadership, I think that Zion Williamson would be really, really good. Plus, what is he, 24? So now you've bridged that gap between the now and the later. To me, Kuminga's not a guy who's going to bridge the now and the later. Plus, Kuminga doesn't want to be here anymore. He wants to be on his own team. So Kuminga's not coming back. But as far as Zion, I think that's an interesting one, but he makes a ton of money. Who you bringing out? Who you moving out for Zion Williamson? I would have done that at the deadline instead of getting Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler fits better for the short term. Zion Williamson fits for the now and the later. And I think that Zion Williamson has so much damn talent that the first thing the Warriors would say is, okay, lose 20 pounds and then let's talk. And if he did that and he was focused and he was ready and had the leadership that they have here with the Warriors, I think that would work. But I doubt New Orleans is going to take like a Jimmy Butler in return on that. So, and here's a great point by Aaron. Yeah, he doesn't stay healthy. When we were doing the Zion Williamson thing, I had the chart about it. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but he plays in less than 50% of their games in the last few years. It's a killer. So, no, it's not a bad thought, though, as far as that goes. All right, let me do the LeBron thing only because this is going to be really interesting. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back at least too hard. But what I said is as you watch the Lakers, it was obvious last year. A, they're going to build around Luka because Luka's what, 27 years old? What does Luka need around him? Well, he needs a lob threat center and he needs pick and roll players, but mostly he needs players who can shoot from the perimeter, big time players who can shoot from the perimeter so that he can drive, dish, have options, things like that. Also, you need some defensive players around Luka. He's indifferent when it comes to the defensive side. So what they had built in Dallas to get them to the Western Conference Finals was pretty good. They had shooters around him. They had defenders around him. They made a great trade in 2024, and they got in P.J. Washington and Gafford, and they drafted Derek Lively, and they just – those kind of players were perfect. All these role players around Luka so that he had options. He had shooters around him. He had defenders on the other end. Had pick-and-roll guys, had lob threat centers, all that kind of stuff, vertical-type centers. So they had a really nice setup in Dallas. They don't have that with the Lakers. And remember, Luka is up for an extension that he can sign in August. So Luka's looking at the Lakers going, look, I know you made this big trade. I don't have to stay here. And behind the scenes, maybe it'll get out at some point down the line. Maybe it won't. I can guarantee you that Luka's going, look, man, either you're building around me or you're building around LeBron. What are you doing? Because we can't coexist. And it's not a situation where the Warriors, and when people were stupid in 2017 when they got Durant and it coined the phrase, there's only one ball. There's only one ball. Yeah, the ball moves. Klay doesn't need the ball. He just catches and shoots. Curry's going to defer and say, okay, Kevin, whatever. And remember during that first year, like they all averaged like 17 shots a game. Like they got it. They all got it. They don't need to be ball dominant players. So it was going to work. And those who didn't think it was going to work were stupid. But you look at the Lakers, LeBron needs the ball in his hands. Luka needs the ball in his hands. And what happened last year with the Lakers was my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. It's not working. We're ball dominant players. It's like when Harden and Westbrook tried to coexist in Houston, it didn't work. You're both ball dominant players. So who's going to dominate the ball? Well, neither is an off the ball shooter either. So in their off time and they don't have the ball, it's not like Luka's going to go stand in the corner or LeBron's going to go stand in the corner. I'll drive and dish. That's not what they do. So as I'm watching them last year, I'm thinking, this is great. The Lakers are a mismatched team, and if they want to keep doing what they're doing, they're undersized. Neither of those guys want to play any defense, and it's my turn, your turn. Totally wrong. Just messed up team. So now you get to the offseason, and I said at the end of last season, I'm like, if I'm the Lakers, I'm building around Luka, duh. And I'm getting the type of players he needs around him. Plus, I want a certain aged player so that I can be good for like 8 or 10 years. So he's 27 years old. I want guys in that age range or younger to grow with him. They're not in the position of the Warriors. They don't have a 2-year window. That's why getting Luka was a game changer for them. It changed everything for the Lakers. So here's LeBron going, well, I got one more year, because what's essentially happening here is he opted into the $52 million. Let me have Shams tell you, and then we'll get into a conversation about it.
James is opting in to his nearly $53 million player option for the 2025-2026 season. So what we do know is he will be playing a record 23rd NBA season. Still not sure whether he's going to play one more season or he has multiple years left, but I'm told he wants to compete for a championship next season, and he is uncertain about the Lakers roster moving forward. And my understanding is James is supportive of the Lakers positioning themselves around Luka Doncic, building for the future. And Rich Paul told me this morning, the Clutch Sports CEO, that the Lakers have been true partners of his and LeBron James for 8 seasons while he's been there.
All right, blah, blah, blah. I don't need all that other stuff, and I'm sure we all don't care. Bottom line is this. I think LeBron James, and I heard Bobby Marks say this morning on ESPN that there's not a trademark for LeBron. Now, there may or may not be. He opted in for the $52 million. Jimmy Butler makes about $50-something million. If you wanted to say Jimmy Butler for LeBron James, I probably wouldn't have a problem with that. And I know a lot of people would, but hear me out on this. You got all these young teams in the Western Conference, like Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Houston. They just added Durant, but they got a lot of young players. This whole 2-year window thing for the Warriors, that ain't going to work. Now, maybe they've got some ace up their sleeve, but let's say they get DeAndre Ayton, which I think is probably the best they can do as far as getting a big man right now. Because like I said, Miles Turner's not going anywhere. Bobby Portis isn't going anywhere. Naz Reid's not going anywhere. I mean, where are you going to get this big? Clint Capella? Somebody like that? Brooke Lopez? I mean, that's what's going to be available. So DeAndre Ayton's probably the big move. They could just sign him straight up, and then they could move Kuminga and try to get another player. Like they, you know, they can make a couple of nice moves. Sign DeAndre Ayton. It's a buyout with the Blazers, so he's getting paid. But like I said, I think he'd go to the team that's going to pay him the most. But let's just say the Warriors could get him for the sake of conversation. They can move Kuminga for a nice piece. Is that much going to beat Oklahoma City or San Antonio or Houston or some of these teams in the Western Conference? I doubt it. So why not bring in LeBron and just go true old man? Like, you zig, they zag. I mean, they're all going, it's a bunch of young teams, right? Again, I know Durant came to Houston, but they're young. San Antonio's young. Oklahoma City's young. They're on the upswing as far as their window is concerned, and you're at the end of your window. So if you're at the end of your window and it's a 2-year window, this is LeBron's last year at the Lakers regardless. I mean, like I said, Luka's sitting there going behind the scenes, look, it's got to be my team and my players around me, and that's not LeBron James. So I said in the offseason, or right at the end of last season, when I was watching the Lakers in the playoffs, I'm like, they got to move LeBron. It just doesn't make sense. He and Luka don't make sense together at all on either end. On the one end, Luka wants to dominate the ball, and there's LeBron. And on the other end, neither of those guys want to play any defense, and they lack size. And so that means that Luka, you know, on lobs and things like that, so they come to double Luka, and here he is with the lob. He doesn't really have that. Jackson Hayes, he's a free agent, but he stinks anyway. I mean, they don't have it. It's not a fit. The team is not fit for Luka Doncic on either end of the floor. So, maybe you don't like LeBron, and I get it, and he's a cornball, and he's a cheeseball, and all the things that he does. You respect his game on the floor, and he's one of the greatest of all time. You can't even deny that. What I'm saying is, if you zag and you're going old man, why not just go all-in old man team? You got the young teams. You got those kind of guys. I don't know if you had LeBron and Draymond and Steph. Look, it's maybe a 1-year window. Maybe it's a 2-year window, because it's not like LeBron's horrible right now. And guys fall off the cliff. I understand that. And I like Jimmy Butler. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just simply saying, if you want to go old man, just straight up old man, might as well just go old man team, all in old man team, which means you got LeBron, you got Curry, you got Draymond. And let's see what happens. Maybe you get DeAndre Ayton, who looks like he's 90 years old. Even when he was number one overall pick, he looked old. I don't know. Maybe you do that. Trade Kuminga, get a couple of other old guys. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to go old man team, go all in. That's just my thought. Because Bobby Marks this morning said, well, LeBron doesn't have a trademark. And I doubt that. I'm sure there's a team out there thinking to themselves, and that team would probably be the Warriors. Why not add him and just go all old man team? And then ESPN could just set up a studio at Chase. Could you imagine if LeBron and Curry were on the same team? It would just be all ESPN all the time. They'd like have a side, but they'd have the Ocho. The Ocho would just be all LeBron and Warriors all the time. And that's all they would talk about in those talking head shows. LeBron, Curry, Warriors, blah, blah, blah. Would blow the top off the NBA. Every game would be a nationally televised game. Anyway, there you go. There's my thought. The other weird story, and then I'll be off of NBA and I'll go out to the chat line and I'll see what everybody's up to today. This story is so friggin' weird. See this yesterday? U.S. District Attorney's Attorney Office investigating Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets. Beasley and the Pistons were in serious talks on a new three-year $42 million contract. The thing that blows my mind is, first of all, Malik Beasley is going to give up a three-year $42 million contract because he was doing some prop bets. Now, I don't know how much the prop bets were, but this is why betting at the professional level never makes sense. Now, Jontay Porter got in trouble from the Raptors. He was a fringe NBA player. College, I completely get it, although with NIL, it's a little bit different now with all these guys making all this money. But if you're a college student, and you're not making any money, and you're not one of the big stars, but you play a few minutes a game, I could see you trying to throw a game. I could see you getting into the gambling thing and trying to make a few bucks, and why not? All your other friends and guys are getting NIL, and you're like, I'm not getting anything. I'm not going to the NBA. I don't have any money. You know, my family doesn't have any money, so yeah, why not get into the – I could see that. I could totally see a college kid getting into a gambling situation, getting in trouble, doing prop bet, whatever the case may be. I could see that at the college level, because even though there's NIL, there's players who aren't making any money. But at the NBA level, I don't get it. For an established player, not Jontay Porter, who got in trouble with Toronto, guy like Malik Beasley, who's made some money in his career, knows that he's in line for another contract. 3 and 45 the Pistons had on the table with this guy. And now, he's not guilty, but the district attorney's office has enough evidence to possibly charge this guy. And you're going to miss out on a three-year $45 million contract. I'm sorry. I don't know what the prop bets were. I don't know what the betting was. I don't know how long it's going. I don't know if it was a ring. I don't know. I don't know any of it. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it's not worth $45 million and the amount of money that you can get in anyway. That's like you don't have to worry about the guys generally who are making money. They're not. Why would they throw a game? Hey, I'm going to throw a game for a buddy of mine so he can make, 100 grand. That player just made 100 grand in the game itself and can give it to his friend. Like, what? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever, unless you're just a dope. If Malik Beasley is a total dope, then this makes sense. Like, did you not think you were getting caught? Look at that. That shocks me. That's unbelievable. And here's one thing. This video is going around, so you've probably seen it. But so this is a game. Let me freeze this for a second. So free throw goes in. It's 119-110. Nicholas Batum is shooting the free throw. 119-110, Timberwolves. The line on the game was 8.5. All right, so 119-110. Timberwolves down 9, and there's only like a few seconds. You can see right there in the corner, 5 seconds left in the game. So there's 5 seconds left in the game. The spread on the game is 8.5. See Malik Beasley right there wearing number 5? So the ball goes through the hoop. It's a 9-point game. The spread's 8.5. Watch what Malik Beasley does. Wait. Okay, here. Hurry up.
Beasley's going to get it off. One last shot. How about Beasley? 21 points.
So it ends up being 119-112. So that thing's going all around the internet. I don't know if it has any validity to it, but it's just kind of funny that it was a 9-point spread after Nicholas Batum makes a free throw. Beasley gets the ball inbounded. Most guys would just dribble it out or flip the ball up in the air or something, with a few seconds left in the game. He sprints from one end to the other, dunks it as the buzzer goes off, and the game ends up 119-112, and the spread was 8.5, and it wasn't 9, so they covered the spread. So, look, I don't know if that has any validity to it. Somebody had to look long and hard at that kind of a thing. But then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, Malik Beasley's part of a gambling ring. So, and that's what he did. So anyway, investigating Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets. they were in serious talks on a new year, 342. Oof. Like I said, that makes no sense whatsoever. I'm fascinated by the what happens in this whole thing and what the details come out, because you're thinking to yourself, look, Malik Beasley isn't making $50 million a year, but Malik Beasley's had a long career in the NBA. He was with Denver and, like we said, Minnesota, was with Detroit. I mean, the guy's made, I don't know, off the top of my head, probably 30 or 40 million bucks in the league. But he's got plenty of money. He's got plenty of money for generations of people. And you know what happens when you get hit with gambling charges, you're done. You're out of the league. And you're not going to work in the league. You're not going to do anything in the league. There's like, that's it. You're done. No more money coming in, none of that. No retirement, no nothing. Like, you're done. And you've already got a bunch of money. Like, what do you gamble? Like, what, making a few bucks here and there for the thrill of it, but giving up a $42 million contract? Wow. That's crazy, man. Anyway, there you go. What else do we have? Like I said, I talked a ton of Giants to begin the show today. So if you missed any of our discussion about the Giants and the numbers that I put up a little bit earlier, let me see, where are those at? And these numbers that I put up a little bit earlier on the Giants, just go back to the beginning of the show, or right after the show ends, I will post the chapters, and you can go back to the beginning. But yeah, the Giants have not been good. So people are, have you talked about the Giants yet? I'm like, yeah, I've talked about the Giants extensively. So episode 179, winless Justin Verlander, Marlins, White Sox, the numbers for June for the Giants, not good. June soon, but it even goes into May. 25 and 26 in their last 51 games with a minus 25 run differential. NBA free agency, it all gets going later today. Kuminga, I don't think anything's going to happen fast because everyone's waiting on Giannis. Although I would say that if there's rumors that are true about the Bulls don't have a shot at Giannis. So if they were going to move him to the Bulls, I guess they could do that. But I think the Warriors could be sitting back going, would Giannis pick us? So I'm not sure that much is going to get done as far as that goes. LeBron, I told you about. I wouldn't mind an all-old man team if you're going to go all-old man. Zig, while the young teams in the West are zagging. DeAndre Ayton might be the best that the Warriors can do. The other names out there, again, some of the guys, that, you know, the bigger names that you thought maybe they could get, this guy, that guy, Miles Turner, Bobby Portis, Naz Reid, those guys are all going to re-sign with their same team. Clint Capella seems to be a name that's out there, as well as Brooke Lopez. None of those really excite me. And again, I'm not saying Ayton's perfect. He doesn't play with a high motor all the time. He's not a great rebounder for his size. He's an okay defender. But again, at the end of the night, he's going to get you 15 and 10. And at least he's going to be a presence in the middle for the Warriors, which is something they completely lack right now. But the Lakers are looking for size too. So that's going to be an interesting one. I think Ayton either ends up with the Lakers or the Warriors. Malik Beasley, that's a, I don't even know what to say about that. How are you thinking that you're going to get away with something like that? You got to understand that, well, you don't have to. Players have to understand that they, in Vegas, this is what they do. Like, I remember some people when all the betting, the betting started to go to different states. Still blows my mind that it's not here, but whatever. But when it started to go to different states, that people were like, oh my God, it's going to get out of control. Like, you don't understand these groups and the way they govern it. Like, you think that Vegas is going to let anything go? That this is how it works. Like, they have all these algorithms and things, and anything that looks a little bit crazy to those people, they're like, "What is this? What is this? What is, they figure it out, man. This is not like the drug trade where the people selling the drugs are always one step ahead. It doesn't work that way in Vegas and gambling, man. They are so versed and fine tuned on this stuff. If you got something going on, if there's some abnormality in gambling, these algorithms pick it up and you're done, man. Like, they're going to catch you. And like I said, at the college level, I get it, man. You're a broke kid. What the hell? Why not? You're not going to the pros. I get it. Like, I get why you're like trying to fix games or lines or prop bets or whatever. I get it for a poor college kid, but for a professional athlete to do that, who's made money, again, Jonte Porter was an example. He was a fringe player. I wasn't making money. So I get that. Malik Beasley's made money in this league and was in line to get a 3-year 42. It's like, yeah, let's do a few prop bets. What do you do? Like, dude, what do you do? What? Wow. All right. A couple of NFL notes today. Or let me hit up the chat line, then we'll get into some NFL. I got a couple of great Caboose Pistols today, too. Let's see. And we go back. If you've got Giants questions, that's fine too. Let's see. Blue Chew. Where is all old team? I'm for it. Change the sponsor name in the jersey to Blue Chew. They should. That'd be hilarious. Look, all I'm saying is if you're going to go all old man team, find a way to get LeBron up here. He's not done. You go if you're going to go 2-year window, I'd take LeBron over Jimmy Butler in the next 2 years in a heartbeat, man. And he doesn't fit on the Lakers. I'm telling you, Luka behind the scenes is like, we're not doing this again this year, man. I'm not doing this again. And so all of a sudden you start to hear these rumors today from ESPN. LeBron's evaluating the Lakers. I got news for you, man. It's the other way around. The Lakers are evaluating LeBron. He's not the number one guy. He's not the king of that team now. That's Luka. And if I'm Luka Doncic, he'll never say it publicly because of who LeBron is and what LeBron's meant to the league. But Luka's like, we're not doing this again next year. I'm the one who doesn't play any defense. I'm the one who has his ball, the ball in his hands. I want rim-running centers. I want shooters around me. I want guys who are on my age. I don't want that old man dominating the ball while I stand in the corner. That's not the fact that this is all coming out. No, he's evaluating the Lakers. That's for him to save face. Yeah, I wanted out. No, you didn't. They wanted to trade you. And by the way, this is his last year with the Lakers, period. That's it. All right. That's as far as the NBA goes. Big trade today in the NFL. God, you think the Steelers are being aggressive? They get Aaron Rodgers. They get DK Metcalf. And today, interesting, Mika Fitzpatrick was drafted by the Dolphins, traded to the Steelers, had a really good career with Pittsburgh. Now he's going back to the Dolphins. And Jonnu Smith, who the Steelers were reportedly interested, and Jalen Ramsey are going to the Steelers. So the Steelers have had an incredibly aggressive offseason. They get rid of Russell Wilson, obviously. They get Aaron Rodgers. They get Jalen Ramsey. They get Jonnu Smith. They get DK Metcalf. So Pittsburgh's been really aggressive in the offseason. Some people thought the Niners would be in on Jalen Ramsey. I saw some of those rumors. I looked at his contract over the weekend. His cap number this year is like $26 million. They're not doing that. Could they use him? Yeah, they could have used him. But his contract ran like 3 more years after this one and had a bunch of cap hits. And I was looking like, does the money go down or is there no more guaranteed money? He's got guaranteed money. No way were the Niners going to trade for that contract. So I even read a piece. It was like, well, he'd fit here, he'd fit here. And that's wonderful. Finances and the business side, it's a part of the game. And there's no way they were having that Jalen Ramsey was going to be a Niner. The finances would have never matched up. Yeah, it would have been great. Like I said, we talked about the secondary and the age of the secondary. You got Demo Lenore. That deal is going to be a misdemeanor, whatever. But you got Demo Lenore on one side. You got a second-year corner on the other. You got a second-year safety who's going to come back from injury in Malik Mustafa. You got a third-year safety in Jair Brown that I'm not exactly excited about. So, yeah, do I think they need more veterans? Trey Brown, who they got from Seattle, is always hurt. So, yeah, they need somebody. They need a safety. And I wouldn't have minded having Jalen Ramsey move back to safety. I think it'd be an amazing, like, strong safety. Come up, make plays, cover tight ends. I think he'd be amazing at it. So, he still needs somebody. I don't know if it's Justin Simmons or Julian Blackman. I scratch my head. I think he's a really nice player, and he is still out there. So, anyway, that's as far as NFL news is concerned. We're still in that kind of zone where we still got a few more weeks until training camp. But Ramsey to the Steelers from the Dolphins for Fitzpatrick and Jonnu Smith. Or excuse me, Jonnu Smith goes to the Steelers. Ramsey and Jonnu Smith and Fitzpatrick goes the other way in a player swap, which you don't see very much in the NFL. All right, I got a couple of Caboose Pistols that I got to play for you in a second, but let me make sure that I didn't miss anything else. LeBron, Ayton, Bulls, JK, gave you all that stuff on the Giants. There you go. It's ugly. The biggest thing that comes out of that is May, June, 26 and 27, the minus 25. 1.67 runs per game against the White Sox. They got shut out by the White Sox on Saturday. I was shocked. I thought I was going to wake up on Sunday and Burrow was going to be fired. He just got shut out by the White Sox. They scored 5 runs in 3 games against the White Sox. Really? Woo. And their hitting coach is still intact with this offense and this many players playing below their baseball card. That's shocking to me. All right. Anything else? I hear Luke is getting into. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I hear Luke is getting into better shape. Bad signs have to be pissed. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you live in LA. It's like, dude, that's what's funny. People are like, oh, he's going to trade salads. Like everybody in LA is eating salads. Everybody in LA is eating Randy's donuts, In-N-Out. I mean, come on, man. tacos, burritos. Like, come on, the food in Dallas. I get it, man. It's more, you know, there's meat and barbecue places and all that. Let me tell you something. You walked around America, you go into any city in any town, there's food. It's not like Luca's. Oh, sorry, Luca. All we got in California is salads. Yeah, that's not true. Like, a bunch of people said, well, he's gonna be hanging out on the beach eating salad. Yeah, that's what everybody does in California. They hang out on the beach and eat salad. What are you, insane? All right, what else do we have? Is that it? All right, let me play the sweet clean. Hi, James. Good morning to you. Appreciate it. Good to see you. Mark Bucko Sports. Lots of people jumping in. Aaron, did I say good morning to you? Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are just in time, people, for a version of a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Let me get the Caboose Pistol music. And we have a good one today. We got a couple of good ones today for the Caboose Pistol. Let's hit it.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. Here's John.
Ah! Where do we start with the Caboose today? I got two of them. Oh, let's start with this one. One's a picture, one's a video. So I'll save the video for last. Do you think this is real? You buy this? So this is on Twitter, Sin City Las Vegas Locals. And they write, only in Vegas. So you see that sign there? It says, on a freeway. You never know what's real. This is on a freeway in Vegas. Do not touch your partner's private parts while she is driving. I don't know, man. Do you think they put that up there? Do you think that's a major problem that people are touching a person who's driving's private parts or doing certain things? We all know what, you know, you're on a long, like the Eagles would say, you're on a long desert highway. And, you know, there's nothing going on and it's you and your girlfriend or wife or significant other and something might happen. But it says, do not touch your partner's private parts while he or she is driving. Do you think that's real or not? Let's do just a quick poll. Parts while he or she is driving. I've never done that as far as me or the other significant. So I was going to make a joke there about women driving and they don't want to be, you don't want to distract them anyway, but I'm not going to do that. But anyway, real or fake? Real or fake? I know there's a Seinfeld episode with Terry Hatchie, but real or fake there? Do not touch your partner's private parts while he or she is driving. You think that's a real sign? I mean, that is in Vegas. I mean, right there it says Henderson. So that's in Vegas. Sin City Las Vegas Locals posted that. So I need to do a direct message to them and ask them if that's real. Do you buy that? Do you think that's a real thing? So let me take a quick poll on that, and then I will play you the video portion of the sweet, clean, private, or the family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Do not touch your own private parts while driving. Yeah, that's probably maybe what it should have said. Fake. Antonio's saying that's a fake. Do not touch your own private parts. Yeah, that's the problem. Fake. See, people aren't buying it. All right. I'd say fake. See, nobody's buying it. Mary, fake. In Vegas, see, the Nutter says, wait a minute, it's in Vegas. That's the only reason, Nutter, that I thought maybe it is Vegas. You know, it's not like that sign's in Salt Lake City or something like that. So I was, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. So there you go. A lot of people saying fake. What do you think? Give us your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. Always hit me up with comments under the show if you're watching later or if you're watching on X. I'm always there at John Lund Radio. So let me know in the comment section if you cannot get to that question in the live show. All right. Here's another one for you. And I'm going to ask you this question. Be serious here. Now, you probably you do what these people did, but some people, because this is about $1.5 million, some people be like, well, do you know anybody who could get rid of this stuff, at least some of it? Check this out. And apparently this happens on this specific beach all the time. This is in Alabama.
The beach, just west of the wildlife refuge on Fort Morgan Peninsula, when swimmers see something bobbing in the water and drag it on shore. Once they saw what they had, they called police.
50 packages, 2.2 pounds per package, so about 110 pounds. With a value of about $1.5 million.
Tests confirmed it was cocaine.
The package was wrapped in black plastic, and they did tear into the black plastic, but they didn't open any of the individual bundles.
It's happened before. 4 years ago, just under 100 pounds of cocaine washed ashore along West Beach in Gulf Shores. And for the next couple of days, more cocaine hit the beach. And that could happen again.
It's not uncommon for us to get a bundle and then a few days later get more bundles and they can wash up. Sometimes they're individual, like the kilo size, and sometimes larger bundles.
Investigators say the cocaine had been in the water for a while. Barnacles were already attached to it. Now the question is, where did it come from?
Now, that's not the question, but thank you very much for that report. So apparently in Alabama, lots of cocaine washes up on the shore. So, you know, those guys who walk around beaches with headphones on and they got the metal detector thing. I wouldn't be doing that. If I were that, I'd just be sitting on the beach waiting for cocaine to wash ashore, especially if I dealt cocaine, because it's like, look, then I know how to distribute said cocaine and cut it or whatever. I don't know how to do any of those things, but you know, then you would kind of know. So like if $1.5 million of cocaine washes ashore, problem is that if you're a person going, if you have some sort of a dilemma, moral dilemma in your mind, we don't know how to get rid of $1.5 million of cocaine. Like your first thought is, oh my God, this is cocaine. How do I get rid of it? It's not like something, you know, gold washed ashore and you're, I don't know, something that you could distribute or something you could get rid of. And you'd be like, I'm keeping this. You know, it's not like it's a bunch of cash where you're like, sorry, man, this cash is all wrapped up. Now, if there's $1.5 million, let's do it this way, because cocaine, you're turning it over to the police. You're not a coke gay. You're not a coke guy. I mean, let's be honest, right? You know, you're not Scarface. Say hello to my little friend. Like, that's not you. You're not going to do that. Say hello to my little friend. You're not going to become a coke kingpin. That's not what you're going to do. But let's say, just for the sake of conversation, I'll ask you another question. Like, moral dilemma wise, let's say it's $1.5 million, right? And it's all packaged up like that. Now, probably, that's probably some sort of drug money. I mean, it's all packaged and all that kind of stuff. I don't know why anybody would wrap up money like that, but let's just say for the sake of conversation, you know, it was money. Like, it was $1.5 million. Then you'd have like a moral dilemma on your hands. But then again, I've seen that movie. What's the movie? New Country for Old Men or whatever it's called. Didn't James Brolin take the money? And or one of the Brolin brothers take the money. And then that dude like tracked him down with that weird device he had that he'd shoot, and it would like knock out locks, or he did it to that guy's forehead. That dude was creepy, by the way. Wouldn't say anything. Remember, he flipped the coin? Call it. Like, he's in the convenience store, and the guy calls the coin. Up to. Easy movie. And he had to go across the border and everything, and the guy just kept coming after him. Like, he wanted his money. So maybe you don't go after drug people's money after, now that I think about it. But if there's $1.5 million washed ashore and you open it up and you saw that money, you might go Jim Carrey, right? And Dumb and Dumber and just put all IOUs back in there. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Yeah, that's a good point by Aaron. Can we have a dolphin cocaine movie? Because we had Cocaine Bear, right? We had Cocaine Bear and the coke, and he broke into the coke and he was all coked up. Maybe the day. Now, dolphins would be wild on cocaine because they'd be smart. They'd be like jumping out of the water like crazy. Anyway, there you go. And apparently that, like they said, at that certain beach, it happens all the time. You imagine? You're just sitting there going, okay. And the guy just said, too, that last time this happened, more washed up later. So they're just sitting there going, dudes are like camping out going, anything else? We seen anything? Got to get some more coke out of the water there. Crazy. Anyway, there you go. Sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. Well, if a whale swallowed, oh, yeah. I mean, that much cocaine? I mean, I know whales are massive, but I think that does the whale in, even though a whale's gigantic, but I don't know. You know? people are going back to the private part thing in Vegas. Anyway. All right, there you go. That is your sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. Get your butt down to wherever that was. Gulf Shores, Alabama, or whatever. That's, they got cocaine washing up left and right. And is this sign real? That is your sweet, clean. Don't touch your private, your partner's private parts while he or she is driving. Apparently, your private parts are fine, not your partner, is what Vegas says. All right, that is your sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol, and that is episode 179, Winless JV. I gave you all those numbers on the Giants. Go back to the beginning of the show if you missed those, or I will post very shortly here a chapter, the chapters, and you can just click right on there. We are going to put up a podcast in mere moments, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. please make sure you're subscribed to John Lund Unleashed. That would be outstanding. If you were subscribed to John Lund Unleashed, please, that would be outstanding. And we appreciate that as well. Please hit those likes, get those alerts on so we can send you more stuff. Join the Bay Area Sports Collective, that big B. And do remember, as I always tell you, my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, he is the best. In fact, I forgot to tell you this. I was at Dr. Riopelle's on Friday. He meant to say hello. So anyway, click on that QR code right there. I tell you this all the time. I just had another great experience. I feel great. Dr. Riopelle hooked me up like he always does. My wife, she is pain-free with the stem cell. And he and I talked about the stem cell quite a bit. We were in there on Friday and it was like, man, people just aren't, they don't believe me, I think. But her shoulder, her elbow, she's feeling awesome. Her foot. If you've ever thought about stem cell, I'm telling you, he's like, you got to be careful what you say, Lund. I'm telling you from, I was going to say firsthand experience, but my wife, it has been life-changing. And I'm not joking about this. And I would not lie to you. It has been life-changing for her, the stem cell. So he's one of the first, Dr. Riopelle, one of the first in California to do stem cell. He is awesome. So click on that QR code, get yourself an appointment right now. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle right there in San Ramon. And if you are like, oh, I couldn't get the QR code, just Google it. Use your favorite search engine, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle in San Ramon. It's not just the stem cell that he does, which he does amazingly well, and you're going to feel great. Any kind of pain you have, it is a miracle. So I'm doing I'm doing the low T. So I've been doing that for a long time with Dr. Riopelle. I used to have to get these shots weekly. No more. No more shots weekly. It is just every few months, quick blood test, boom, and I'm out of there, and I'm feeling great for the next number of months. So I just saw Dr. Riopelle on Friday. Check out Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. And those aren't the only things he does and the group does there at Riopelle. They do all sorts of great stuff that are going to make you look better, feel better, whether it's man, woman, I don't think child, but men and women, look better, feel better. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Google it. He is the best, and I just saw him on Friday. It was a great time had by y'all. All right. Christian, thanks for jumping in today. Jake, did I say hello to everybody? Hello, Antonio, everybody, James. So thanks for coming in today. John, good to see you, my friend. Thanks to everybody. Have a tremendous Monday. Please get those alerts on. Please, before you get out of here, hit us with the like because we'll be sending more stuff out today. Make sure you hit up Bay Area Sports Collective at 11 o'clock. Let me see what time it is right now. 10:17 at 11 o'clock as, who just said that? Dom said PMP is hitting the airwaves on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Everybody have a great Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m. and all sorts of stuff throughout the day on John Lund Unleashed.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!